This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نعم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. So tonight's hadith inshallah, what number is it?
25,
that's good. So the hadith is number 25 and it's a short hadith, but inshallah there's a lot of meaning in it. And in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to hold a comparison between two things. This is a mathal. And the amthal are abundant in the Quran. And the are abundant in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Amthal are examples and parables. So between two things. And usually these two things is something that is distant and something that is proximate, something that is close to you, something that is immaterial and non-physical, that you understand, but you'll understand better when the Prophet ﷺ gives you an example. This is like that. Or when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran gives you an example, this thing that you may just feel, you may just know in your mind, know about in your heart, but it also resembles something physical that you can also know about through your eyes and ears. So these parables, you know, bring the meaning closer to our hearts and to our minds. We understand better because the Prophet ﷺ makes this link. So in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, إِنَّ الْإِيمَانَ لَيَخْلَقُ فِي جَوْفِ أَحَدِكُمْ كَمَا يَخْلَقُ الثَّوْبِ فَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ أَنْ يُجَدِّدَ الْإِيمَانَ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. So he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ الْإِيمَانَ, indeed iman, indeed iman, la yakhlaqu, becomes old, worn out, right? Opposite of new. في جوف أحدكم, inside one of you. كَمَا يَخْلَقُ الثَّوْبُ, like, this is the parable, like a dress or a garment or clothing get worn out. As they become old and decayed, so does iman. So the Prophet ﷺ says, فَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ أَن يُجَدِّدَ الْإِيمَانَ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to renew iman in your hearts. So he's saying here sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that something happens to iman, which also happens to something that you observe all the time. So when you see the second, remember the first. When you understand the second and you do very well, understand through it the first. So understand how iman becomes old or iman gets worn out and decayed. Because you understand very well that when you possess a piece of clothing, that also gets old, that also gets worn out, that also lacks freshness, newness, vitality. So in the same way, same thing happens to iman. And when you understand that reality, then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you really understand it, you will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to renew iman in your hearts. So the first thing here is that the Prophet ﷺ, as we said, is making a link between two things. And you'll find this link in the Qur'an and in other places in the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. In the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, after giving you the story of Adam alayhi salam and what happened with Adam, and that one of the things that the shaitan wanted to do with Adam and Eve alayhim as-salam is that for them to lose their haya. يَنْزِعْ عَنْهُمَا لِبَسَهُمَا لِيُرِيَهُمَا سَوْآتِهِمَا, for them or for him to strip them of their clothing so that he would show them their nakedness. Right? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا بَنِي آدَمَ قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds all the children of Adam of his favor. And this favor is that we had given you libasa, clothing. What you're wearing right now, clothing. يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا. What is the purpose of this clothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to you? It conceals your shame, your nakedness, what you want to conceal. It conceals it. Warisha. Risha is also, it beautifies. Right? It's also for beauty and adornment. So it has two or dual purposes. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. What are they? Conceal, this is one. Conceal, and the other one? Beauty, right? That's really the two main purposes of clothing. That's why you purchase them. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. And the clothing of taqwa, that is better. So see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had moved from the physical clothing to the non-material clothing. From the physical dress to the metaphorical dress. The dress of what? Dress of taqwa and iman. Right? So, as you need something to cover you on the outside, what also do you need? Something to cover you on the inside. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. That is as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I know you pay a lot of attention to what you wear on the outside. And you pay, not only a lot of attention, you pay a lot for it. But libasu taqwa, the clothing of taqwa, what you have on the inside, what clothes your soul, your heart, that's better. Right? And we'll see inshaAllah some of the reasons why it is better. In another ayah in Surah Al-Muddathir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha al-muddathir, qum fa'andhir, rabbaka fa'kabbir, wa thiyabaka fa'tahhir. Wa thiyabaka fa'tahhir. What does that mean? And purify your thiyab, clothing. So this is one meaning. You open the book of tafsir, right? You read that some of the sahaba are saying that one of the meaning also is, and purify your heart. So though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, purify your clothes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also saying, and purify your heart, purify your soul, purify your deeds. Why? So they say, you can go back to Tafsir ibn Kathir if you want, Tafsir al-Tabari. Why? They say the Arabs say, that's an expression that they have. If they say that someone has clean clothes, what does that mean? Not only that he has actual clean clothes, but he is clean on the inside. His character, right? His morals, his behavior is also clean. So if you say Fulanun Naqiyu Thawb has, you know, pure clothing, he had put on pure clothing, doesn't only mean, depending on the context of course, doesn't only mean that he is wearing, you know, white, like the brothers are wearing white, on the inside he's white. Right? Another link also between iman and clothing. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is both in Bukhari and Muslim, he saw a dream. In that dream, he is saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رَأَيْتُ النَّاسَ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهِ. People were presented to me, right? In front of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَعَلَيْهِمْ قُمُصْ. And they were wearing shirts. قَالَ مِنْهَا مَا يَبْلُغُ الثَّدِي. So some of these people who are wearing these shirts, their shirt reaches to their breasts. Right? To their breast. وَمِنْهَا مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. And some shirts are longer. And he said, وَعُرِضَ عَلَيَّ أَوْ مَرَّ عَلَيَّ عُمَرُ بْنُ الْخَطَّابِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. And Umar ibn al-Khattab passed by, also was presented to him. وَعَلَيْهِ قَمِيصٌ يَجُرُّهُ. And he has on him a shirt that is so long that he's dragging it. Right? So long that he's dragging it. So they asked him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did you interpret that, O Prophet of Allah? Because dreams are not direct. That's why they need interpretation. Dreams, right, are metaphoric. So something is, it would be represented as something else, symbolic. So you need to understand that key, that symbol. So how did he interpret that, him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He says, أَوَّلْتُ ذَلِكَ الدِّينَ. I interpreted that as religion. Deen. Or religiosity. Faith. That's what he interpreted. So what does that mean? How much faith does Umar ibn Khattab has? A lot. Right? That's why his qamis wasn't only covering all of his body. Again, notice between covering and covering, there's physical covering and there's spiritual covering. So he radiallahu anhu had so much iman and so much taqwa that this shirt wasn't only covering his body, it was dragging. He had extra. But others that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw in the dream had enough only to cover part of their body. From the top, not all the way down, only to the breast. Or maybe a little bit down. Degrees. But he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he saw about Umar is that it covered all of him. Right? So this is, you know, these are one of the keys of interpretation for the dreams, is for you going to see how did the Prophet ﷺ interpret dreams and use that to interpret your dreams and other people's dreams if you have that capacity and that knowledge and that talent. If not, then don't say anything about it. The last link is also a link between, you know, the inside and the outside, in terms expressed in terms of clothing. And this is a saying from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He says, أَسِرُّ مَا شِئْتُمْ مَنْ أَسَرَّ سَرِيرَةَ خَيْرٍ أَلْبَسَهُ اللَّهُ رِدَاءَهَا وَمَنْ أَسَرَّ سَرِيرَةَ شَرٍ أَلْبَسَهُ اللَّهُ رِدَاءَهَا. So he says radiallahu anhu, conceal and hide inside yourselves whatever you wish. Whatever you wish, good or evil. Because he says, because whoever hides sarirata khayrin, a good intention, right, a good will on the inside, albasahu Allahu rida'aha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will clothe him that on the outside. وَمَنْ أَسَرَّ سَرِيرَةَ شَرٍ. And the one who has this evil intent and motivation on the inside, Allah will clothe him that intent on the outside. You understand what he's saying? Do you follow what he's saying? That is, he is saying, and other Sahaba also expressed these sentiments, or the same idea. He says, whatever you have on the inside is going to be externalized on the outside. It will show on the outside. You can't hide it forever. Why can't I hide it forever? He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal it. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal it by what? That if what you have on the inside is pure and honest and you have iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will clothe you with that on the outside. So that people in general, they can make mistakes of course, but people in general, they will see that from you. And when you speak, and when you behave, you reflect all of this on the outside. So it would be as if you are wearing a clothing of iman on the outside, because there's iman on the outside. And if it's the opposite, then it's the opposite. If what's on the inside is lack of iman, hypocrisy, something that upsets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's telling you, try to hide it. But you can't. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show it through what you say, through what you do, through your gestures, through your commitments, through your words and the slips of your tongues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show it. So He expressed it there in terms of what? Clothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will clothe you the clothing of iman and taqwa, or the clothing of dishonesty and hypocrisy, depending on what you have on the inside. Now, going back to the hadith and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, you notice a lot of times from ourselves, and you hear it from others as well, people telling you, I'm completely exhausted, completely tired, right? I'm completely out of energy, completely drained. You know, with the troubles of this life, with the problems that I keep facing one after the other, I'm completely tired. I lack all motivation. No energy to continue. You hear that? And of course, the most dangerous part of it, of course, when somebody says, or when we say, or when we feel, that I'm spiritually exhausted, spiritually out of energy, spiritually have no motivation anymore to continue. Right? Where does this come from? Then one of the things, now there are a lot of reasons for it. So one of the things, inshallah, that we want to talk about today, where does this come from? And how can you treat it? And we'll treat it, inshallah, we'll reach it in stages. Right? We'll reach it in stages. And the first question that I want to ask you is, and we will be using this analogy that the Prophet ﷺ has used. Clothing to iman. What impact does the weakening of iman have on us? Like if our iman is weak, what impact does this have on us in terms of emotions? Right? And also in terms of impact, what can we call this? How does lack of iman affect our life? What does it leave behind when we don't have it? So consider clothing for a second. Or for a minute. Second is too short. For a minute. If a person has old or worn out clothing, what does he lack? What is it? Now, he wants to change it, but I'm saying that this is what he has right now, right? What does he suffer? How does he suffer because of it? What do they fail to do?
Ugly.
Ugly, right? So if something, right, is worn out, decayed, or like very old, it's not beautiful anymore. So it's like lacks beauty. What else does it fail to do? Okay, so it doesn't, I heard cold, shame, right? Wonderful, that's it. It does not conceal and protect anymore. It does not conceal your shame because it's torn, right? It's in pieces. It cannot conceal you. And if it conceals you, we'll talk about emotions. If it conceals you, it only conceals in part. And also it does not protect. From cold and heat, it does not protect. So this is, when a clothing is worn out, it fails in all of these ways. Move to iman. The same way. When iman is worn out, when iman is weak, it fails in all of these ways. Right? It does not conceal, it does not protect, and it does not beautify. What do we mean when we say it does not conceal? All of us have flaws in us. I am bakhil, I'm stingy, I'm a coward, I'm arrogant. We have all these diseases. All of these diseases, right? Some by human nature and some particular to us, with some individuals more than others. If iman is not there, they don't treat it. Iman does not treat these illnesses, does not treat these diseases. They remain and they become more visible. So a person is angry, like his nature or her nature is to be agitated very quickly. If you don't have iman to control it, you're even more agitated and angrier than average. If a person has this stinginess with them, their bukhl with them, if iman doesn't push them to spend, do they spend? Do they spend? No. If a person is not patient, he's impatient, and the iman does not teach patience, when you deal with this person, will you find them patient? No. So when iman is not there, it does not conceal, meaning all your flaws are public. Like a naked body. Like the shame that we want to hide, it's public. That's the first thing. Does not conceal. Does not protect. What do you think? Why doesn't protect from what? What do you think? When iman is weak, it does not protect from what? Nifaq, hypocrisy, from sins, fahisha, right? Grave sins. What else does it fail to protect us from? Shaitan does not protect you from the shaitan and the plots of the shaitan and the whispers of the shaitan, and does not protect you from your own evil impulses and your own desires. So there's weakness, right? There are no defenses. So like the clothing does not protect you from heat and cold, this thing does not protect you from the shaitan and anything that is going to harm you. Otherwise it can. And the last thing, it doesn't beautify. It doesn't beautify. And then, because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person, He loves them for their iman, and He loves this person because of their iman, people love them as well. So this brings you closer to iman, brings you closer to Allah and to the hearts of humanity in general. And when iman is weak, you're more distant from Allah and you're more distant from the hearts of humanity in general. So it doesn't beautify. This and that. So you lack beauty in your life. And there's greater ugliness in your life. And there's greater harm. All of that because there's lack of iman. Now, how does it make us feel? When you own something that is very old, right? Decayed, coming apart. How do you feel? There's shame. What else? It's cheap, right? It's cheap. Sad. There's sadness, so there is shame. I can't go out in front of people with all of this. And there is sadness, because that's the only thing I have. What else does it bring?
It makes you weak, helpless,
hopeless. Weak, helpless, hopeless. Yeah, so it can make you weak, helpless, and hopeless, right? So, in a sense, right, you feel this general weakness because you own that. It brings also anger. Why don't I have something better than this? It brings envy. And a host of negative emotions, because you don't have what you want to have, and you're ashamed because of what you have. You think about iman, right? And all of these things are symptoms of a lack of iman as well, of a weakness of iman, whether it's a lack, complete lack of iman or a weakness of iman. All of these are symptoms. Anger, anxiety, helplessness, weakness, being ashamed, being confused. All of these are the same feelings. The feelings here are the same, are the feelings there. Now, let's ask another question. Why do clothes become worn out? Yeah. You don't take care of them. You don't take care of them. Okay? So that's one.
Overuse.
So this is one reason. I heard something over there. They have a limit on them, right? Yeah. They get old, right? Okay. So, let's exclude now, because I'm making the comparison with iman, let's exclude the fact that they become old, because your iman, really, that's the only iman that you have, right? Cannot really become old. But there are two things, right? You don't maintain, and you expose them to harm. You know, you don't maintain what you have, and you expose it to harm. Expose it to harm is like what? You risk it, right? And because you risk it, right, it's torn, right, it fades. Something happens to it, right? Something happens to it that shortens its lifespan. It's expected, you know, to serve you for 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, right? You don't really use it, right? So it gets worn out. The other one is that you don't really maintain it. You don't wash it, right? You don't keep it. There's no care involved. You don't do this and you don't do that. Then that's why the reasons that clothes usually get worn out. The same thing with iman. Same thing with iman. Based on that, why does iman become too old or too weak to help us? Because of these two reasons. The first is what? You don't maintain it and you expose it to harm. These are the two reasons. These are the two reasons. How do you expose it to harm? Disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you think of your iman as a piece of clothing that you're wearing, Every sin, just try to imagine and visualize, every sin is a cut in the fabric. Every sin is a stain on the fabric. It can't continue to be new if we treat it like that. Right? And we don't maintain it, meaning that we don't strengthen this iman, we don't fortify this iman, we don't support this iman. So with time comes weak. Just like adding fuel to the car. With time it becomes weak. So when we do these two things, and we neglect our iman, and both of these things are a sign of neglect of our iman. When you neglect it in this way, then our iman becomes weak. You expose it to what, you know, diminishes it and takes it away, and you don't maintain it at all. Then the iman decreases. Right? Now, the Prophet ﷺ tells us that though iman can become weak and it can decay, yet also like clothing, because we can replace clothing, also like clothing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can restore iman. And it can become like new again. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, actually we've seen, I think it was in hadith number 3 or so, we've also seen this concept again of iman going up and down, increasing and decreasing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings life to earth or to the land after its death. This is in Surah Al-Hadid, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that some hearts actually harden, they become stiff because of the distant, or how distant they are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because of this distance between them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the passage of time, they harden. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says right after that, so that we don't think that once they harden, they cannot come back and they cannot soften and they cannot respond to Allah's command. Allah says, اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. Know that Allah can bring life to the land after its death. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring life to the land after its death? Rain. Allah sends rain. And this land that is dry and there is no plant coming out of it, you find out in few days that there is green coming out and there's life coming out. And if you wait for a few weeks or maybe a month, you'll be eating from this land. So life came out of a dead, or what seems to be like a dead land. So any heart, no matter what that heart is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring life back to it. And any heart that suffers from a weak iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring iman right back to it. So there's no despair at all when you're thinking about the restoration of your iman. So it can become new. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can renew it like new clothes. But the thing here is, why is it that though we understand all of this, a lot of us still say that I'm spiritually tired and dry. I don't have the will to continue. I don't have the same energy as I used to have before. And think about yourself. Maybe I and you are people like that. When was the last time you felt that your iman was strong and you were excited about it? You don't have to tell me. Just think about it. When was the last time that your iman, right, was so strong that you could not contain yourself? And you said, I have this that I want to do and that I want to do. And I have this great plan for the future and that great plan for the future. And I cannot wait, you know, to do A, B, C and Z for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you are excited about coming to the masjid, excited about fasting, excited about the salah, excited about the Quran. When was the last time you've actually felt this? And for a lot of us, right? A lot of us, Allahu A'lam, I'm assuming, that's why I'm not asking you. For a lot of us, the answer may be, that was a long time ago, and it probably was the time when I was young, or maybe not young, that was the time when I've decided I wanted to commit myself to Islam. You may have been in your teens when you've done that, maybe older, but it was the time when I made that transition. I said, from this life to Islam. Maybe for some people, from non-Islam into Islam. Or from I'm living a life of jahiliyyah, though I have the name of Islam, from living a life of jahiliyyah to coming to the masjid and being committed to it. And being committed to a pure life. That is the last time that I actually felt consumed by the fire of Iman. Inspired by it. Where did that fire go? That fire, what happened to that fire is that a lot of times when we start committing ourselves to Islam, especially when we are young, right? We have all that energy. And we're starting fresh and we're starting new, and there's always something exciting about starting fresh and starting new. And we may be, especially as new converts to Islam or as people who have committed themselves fresh to Islam, we're maybe a little naive. But we are really sincere. Remember that time? Yeah? All of us? Remember that time? You're really like sincere at that time. And you really want to do great things. And you really want to give your life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then what happens is that you start facing one problem. Whether related to religion or not, or related to this life, one problem. And one setback. And one disappointment. And maybe a big problem in your life. And all of these become like dents in the armor of Iman. You know, it's like Iman is like this armor, right? And each one is like a blow. One after the other, and one after the other. And in all of these, and while we're receiving all of these blows, there is one thing that we are neglected to do. To restore our Iman. To restore our Iman. We've neglected to do that. So one blow after the other, one setback after the other, and our Iman decreases and we fail to increase it, then after this some time we conclude, yeah, Iman is good, but I don't have that much energy for it anymore. Yeah, Iman is great, and I remember in a distant past, I was enthusiastic about it, but I just don't have the energy to give it anymore. I'm busy with this and I'm busy with that and I'm busy with this and I'm busy with that. And somewhere in our hearts, and I'm not sure, maybe some of us have that, maybe some of us don't, somewhere in our hearts, we gave up on ourselves. And we gave up on our own Iman. That Iman can't really solve all my problems. Something else maybe can. But maybe Iman cannot. Maybe Taqwa cannot. So we gave up on ourselves. We gave up on the possibilities of the past, on all of these projects or all of these aspirations of Iman that we had in the past. So we gave up. And the reason or the way to restore all of this is what the Prophet ﷺ says. Remember the time when your Iman was strong? It's as if he's telling you. Remember the time when your Iman was strong? You remember the time when your Iman really gave you all the happiness that you needed in your life? All the inspiration that you needed in your life? All the energy that you needed in your life? Remember that time? Why was it? Why did you feel like that? Because at that time you gave all yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without partitions, without reservation, without holding back. You were giving yourself in completion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you that happiness and that energy. Afterwards, in the face of these problems, mounting setbacks, you fail to give yourself in completion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but only in part. And you fail to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take care of these problems and can solve, you know, and take away your affliction. And you relied on yourself, or you gave up on yourself, and you gave up on Islam, or you gave up on Iman, in part at least. And that's why your Iman is weak. And that's why you cannot restore this happiness and that energy to yourself. So if you find yourself, and I don't know, I'm imagining that this is a common problem. If you find yourself complaining about your Iman, you're really not complaining about Islam and the Quran and the Sunnah of His Prophet ﷺ. What you're complaining about is your own commitment to that iman. Give you an example. I want to lose weight. And I don't know why I always go to that, but it's like, I think a lot of people can relate. Not that anybody needs to be obsessed with their weight and lose weight and any of that. But I want to lose weight. I diet and I exercise, but I flip-flop. I exercise and I stop, diet and I stop. After a month of flip-flopping, of inconsistency, I decide both exercise and diet are useless in losing weight. They don't help. Is that a fair conclusion? Is it the method or my commitment to it? It's the commitment to it. And like anything else, you can think of any other example, right? Any other example in life. Is it actually the method that is failing me, or am I failing the method? Am I failing the process? Am I failing the Quran and the Sunnah of His Prophet ﷺ? Am I failing that and not really committing to them, and that's why they're not bringing me results? Or are they failing me? So before we actually say, oh, I mean, it is Islam, or it is religion, or it is the Quran, or it is the Sunnah, or it is whatever it is, commit yourself to it again the way that you have committed yourself to them again in the first time. And remember the feeling that they gave you in the first time, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you commit yourself to them in full, Allah will give you that feeling again. And Allah will give you that energy again and that happiness again, and will fill you spiritually with His guidance and with contentment. And you will all be able to overcome your problems. But we're unable to overcome our problems because the iman is too weak. Again, like a clothing that is too thin to protect you from the cold of winter. You need another layer. And then another layer. And when you put enough layers, it will protect you. And because our iman is weak, we fail actually to tolerate or push back all of these fitnas of this life. And we become weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker because of them. And you cannot, and will not be able to respond to them if not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He doesn't help you and does not restore iman to you. So, how do you restore iman? How do you bring it back? We'll have inshallah some ideas. The first one is, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, فَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ أَن يُجَدِّدَ الْإِيمَانَ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to restore iman in your hearts. This should be part of your dua. This should be part of your dua. And as we said in the previous hadiths, if it is part of your dua, it means that it's part of the things that you worry about. It's part of the things that you investigate, are aware of, and seek. So if I am actually making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, renew iman in my heart. I'm aware that iman in my heart can decay. And it can become very weak. And it actually can go away. Completely it can go away. And if I'm worried about it, I'll make that dua. If I'm not worried about it, I won't. So if you're worried about your iman, you'll make that dua. So you and I and you should be worried about our iman. Now the Prophet ﷺ is saying, like anything that you own, it decays, iman also decays. You understand that iman decays on a daily basis. Am I right? Iman decays on a daily basis, right? Am I right if I said that iman decays on an hourly basis? Yeah? You notice it, right? Iman is high and it goes down, 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 down. On an hourly basis, even within that hour, iman goes down. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying that, which of the two possessions are more valuable to you? This and that. This or that. Okay? And there's a saying from one of the Salaf, inshallah, I'll just leave it to the end. That is, it really hits it. It really, you know, hits the nail on the head. Which is more valuable? The things that you are putting on or the thing that is inside? And what are you paying attention more? The thing that is on the outside or the thing that is on the inside? So if whenever, you know, I notice that there is a blemish on anything that I'm wearing, and I just take it off and I wash it, or I go out and buy something new, and will not dare, you know, be in public seen with something blemished, imagine your iman. Imagine the iman that lasts you till the day of judgment. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that libas al-taqwa dhalika khayr? The libas al-taqwa is better than any other clothing. Because the only thing that will last you till the day of judgment is that clothing. And nothing else. And when you will be resurrected on the day of judgment, will you be resurrected with any physical clothing on you? No, right? Nothing. The only thing that you will have is that spiritual clothing of iman. So it stays with you till the day of judgment. And if this clothing, you know, when it's really cold on the outside, right? We put on, right, heavy coats and we go outside. Why? It's cold. Why? And it's cold. What happens to you if you go out and it's cold and you're not protected? Sick. And if you're sick, potentially you could die. It can kill you, right? So when you don't have the iman, the clothing of iman on you, you can die. But that death is permanent. It's not just death in this life. That death is a death in the hereafter. That's the death of the heart. When iman is not there. When you allow it, you know, you go out, you go into battle, let's say. You go into battle. And you have no armor on you. No armor to protect you. That's as a person that is asking for death. That's the person that is asking for injury. You don't have the armor of iman on you. And you go out into this life. Out, you know, into work, with family, mingling with people. And you don't have the iman to protect you. That's also asking for death. The death of the heart, the death of iman. So anyone who's really worried about the next life have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, jaddid al-imana fi qulubana ya rabbal alameen, that Ya Allah, renew iman in our hearts. Renew iman in my heart and make this part of your regular dua. Right? Increase my iman. Renew it in my heart because it can die. And all of us who are complaining about, I've lost the sweetness of ibadah, I've lost the sweetness, ladhatul ibadah, right? I'm not finding the sweetness of ibadah anymore. You're complaining about this. I mean, there's no magic to it. There's no trick to it. This is what you're complaining about. My iman is weak. This is it. I can't find the sweetness of ibadah, the joy of ibadah, because my iman is not strong enough to allow me to enjoy it. So you want your iman to be to the level that will allow you again to taste the sweetness of the Quran and to taste the sweetness of worship. The second thing that we should try to do is to take some time out of our busy schedules, busy life, and dedicate that to reflection, tafkir, and muhasaba, bringing ourselves and making ourselves accountable as to what we have done and what we have not done. When we talked about this before, we're busy all the time, right? And we move from one thing to the other. And we, even when we don't have anything to do, we just busy ourselves with doing things that are useless. No, here is deliberately take some time out from your busy schedule. Dedicate it 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes every day and sit with yourself and ask yourself, what have I done this day? What are the good things that I've done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What are the good things that I have not done and I had an opportunity to do? What are the bad things that I have done? Did I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness for them? What am I going to do for tomorrow? What I have planned for the day after? Right? What are the profits and the gains and the losses in today? This is the muhasabah. So you have to take time out and ask yourself all of these questions. Does my day fit into why I have been created? Am I still on the track that is leading me to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or did I deviate this day? If I deviated this day, why did I deviate? Where did it start? Where did this deviation start? The beginning of it. Where did I go wrong? Why did I continue on this wrong path? How could I have avoided? You ask yourself all of these questions. And when you do that, you allow yourself to come up with answers that will correct and reform what you're doing. Like anyone, right, who studies, right? Who studies and evaluates what they do and are able to correct, right, their project based on this feedback, based on what they've done right and what they have done wrong. So you continue to do this with your life. And Abu Darda, radiallahu anhu, says, إن من فقه العبد أن يتعاهد إيمانه وما نقص منه ومن فقه العبد أن يعلم أمزداد هو أم منتقص وإن من فقه الرجل أن يعلم نزغات الشيطان أن تأتيه. He says, رضي الله عنه, from the fiqh, from the depth of understanding of one, to take care of his iman, and يتعاهد, to keep taking care of his iman, وما نقص منه, and what has decreased of it. وَمِنْ فِقْهِ الْعَبْدِ, and from the fiqh and the depth of understanding of one, is to know, is he, or did he gain, or did he lose? Right? And from the depth of understanding of someone is to know the whispers of the shaitan, where do they come to him from? So here, رضي الله عنه, he's using the word of fiqh. And usually, right, when we say fiqh, what do you understand? Typically, when we say fiqh, what does that refer to? I cannot hear you, I'm sorry.
Okay, rules.
Rules, right? Law. Right? That's what it refers to, right, in our mind, law. But in the time of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, fiqh really referred to something greater and bigger, not only to law, specifically to law. No, actually, that's depth of understanding. The faqih is the one who really has deep understanding, not only about the law, more importantly about aqidah, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also about himself. He understands himself, understands the plots of the shaitan, understands how to go on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to guide himself on it, how to stay away from ma'siyah. This is fiqh. That is true fiqh. So he says from the fiqh of the individual is that he will take care of his iman and what decreases of it. You know, this is a statement that is coming from one of the sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ. From your fiqh, if you want to know if you're a faqih or not, more so than memorizing, right, the law of tahara and the law of salah and all of that is important. But more important than that is for you to take care of your iman and whatever decreases of it. And that means that this happens every day. Oh, subhanAllah, today I didn't do the things that I used to do. My reading of the Qur'an stopped today. Why? Why did it stop? You don't let it go. You see? That's your fiqh. You don't let it go. You don't let it slip. You say, they say, you treat yourself like your stingy partner would treat you if you actually had a partner, a business partner. At the end of the day, he comes and he says, what did you earn? Well, I have this. Show me the cash. Show me what got in. Show me what got out. Show me the receipt. You know how he's particular with you like that? Because he's stingy, right? Cares about money. He says, in the same way, you would act with yourself because you're stingy with what? With what? With your hasanat. You're stingy with your life. You're stingy with your hereafter. You're not going to waste it. So you ask yourself, it's like you are partnering with yourself. Yourself is your partner, and you sit with yourself and you say, what did you do today? Why didn't you do it? You had an opportunity, but you did not. You wasted your time. So tomorrow you're not going to do this. Tomorrow you're going to compensate for what you have lost today. So, أَنْ يَتَعَاهَدَ إِيمَانَهُ وَمَا نَقَصَ مِنْهُ وَمِنْ فِقْهِ الْعَبْدِ أَنْ يَعْلَمَ مُزْدَادٌ هُوَ أَمْ مُنْتَقِسٌ. He knows at the end of the day, am I in loss or did I gain? More good or more bad? Am I better today or was I better yesterday? Do I have a plan to be better tomorrow or not? That's his fiqh. Just like a person who owns a business. Oh, today we lost money. Why did we lose money? Advertising wasn't good. Why else? Merchandise wasn't, you know, the quality wasn't great. What else? The shipment was late. What, you ask yourself, what can we do to remedy all of this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So you come up with a plan for tomorrow, right? That avoids all of these mistakes. And the third thing is, وَمِنْ فِقْهِ الرَّجُلِ أَنْ يَعْلَمَ نَزَغَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ أَنَّ تَأْتِيهِ. And from the fiqh of the person is to know the whispers of the shaitan, where do they come to him from? Did we talk about this before? I don't remember. Well, maybe not. For the whispers of the shaitan, where do they come to him from? Think of an illness, right? You become sick and you don't understand why you have become sick. What do you do? I exclude going to the doctor right now. Before going to the doctor, you become sick. After 2 days you become sick, then it's a recurring sickness. What do you do? Ask yourself, where is this coming from? Where is this coming from? Is it from something that I eat, something that I touch, something that I sit next to? Where does this come from? And you begin to do what? Right? Experiment. I'll stop eating this. Okay, this is safe. I'll stop eating that. Okay, this is safe. I'll stop going there. This is safe. Until you determine the cause. Then once you isolate the cause, you'll stop. And you know, this is the cause of my illness. Each one of us, right? The shaitan knows how to attack you from certain angles and certain weaknesses. Some of these weaknesses are common to all of us, and some of these weaknesses are peculiar to each one of us. Peculiar to you. So the shaitan understands when it comes to you in general that you have these general weaknesses that all humanity has. Men, it's women, right? They have great weakness when it comes to women. Humanity in general, when it comes to money, property, reputation, fame, he knows this is common. But you in particular, he knows that there are certain angles, certain cracks in that building of iman that he always comes through and attacks you through them. And most of us, if you ask us, and that's how we absolutely lack that fiqh, if you ask us, we're not aware of these cracks. I have no idea where the shaitan comes from. He just keeps hunting me all the time, and I'm his victim all the time, and I don't understand how he hunts me. So we lack that fiqh. That's the fiqh that is missing. So from your fiqh is actually to start, actually stop. Stop, you know, pause what I mean, pause. Stop observing other people and their mistakes and all the wrong things that they're doing. Leave that. And focus on yourself and say, how come every time he gets me through this? How to every time I'm committing this same sin over and over and over? Where does he come from? How does he get me? And you trace it and you trace it and you trace it until you know where he enters your heart from, where he enters your mind from, and you block it. And you block it. Sometimes it's because you go to a particular place. Sometimes it's because of a friend. Sometimes it's because of a particular sight. Sometimes it's because of a particular weakness that you have. And you need to work on that weakness, strengthen that weakness. Sometimes it's because of something in your past that you need to resolve. So you need to actually sit with yourself and resolve it. Understand how to overcome it. So subhanAllah, the map is big. And he will attack you from whatever angle, whatever area you're weakest in. So you have to understand that part. So this is the fiqh, right? So the next time inshaAllah you think about fiqh, great fiqh, law, wonderful. But at the same time, do you have fiqh of yourself? Do you understand yourself? That's why I said before, you know, the one that we truly don't understand well might be ourselves. You know, a person and actually live a long life and die without truly understanding themselves. Not understanding their strengths and weaknesses and not understanding how the shaitan plays with them. So you don't understand yourself. The other thing that you can do to increase your iman is to put yourself, right, in the company of the righteous. In the company of the righteous. To be around them. To listen to their advice. To witness how they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be inspired by their example. And the Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu said, and what is authentic all the way to him, radiyallahu anhu, he said, what is so famous, اجلس بنا نؤمن ساعة. He said, sit with me, sit together, so that we can increase our iman for a sa'a, for an hour. And by the way, sa'a in the Arabic language doesn't mean the hour that we understand today, the 60 minutes and 60 seconds. Just mean a period of time, unspecified period of time. So he says, sit, so that we can increase our iman for an hour. This tells you what about the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and here Mu'adh represents them. And Mu'adh is one of the learned and the scholars among the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he would meet someone, he would say what? Sit. And what is the purpose of this sitting? Let us increase our iman. Sit with me so that we can increase our iman. Join me so we can increase our iman. How do they increase their iman? They increase their iman by sitting together and remembering the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them. This is one way. Did you see how Allah gave me this ni'mah and gave you that ni'mah? You see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this ni'mah in the Quran, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks about that ni'mah in the Sunnah. So they talk about the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them. That increases their iman. They sit together and they study the Quran. Right? Recite it or study it. They sit together and they study the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They sit together in general for the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or for the study of Islam. When they sit together like that, and it's something that is constant and repetitive, that is something that takes care of your iman and increases it. One, because you're doing something with someone else. You're not alone. Right? You have a partner with you that is motivating you, and you're motivating them. And what you're studying is helping your iman. And their example is increasing your iman, and your example is increasing their iman. So see that the Sahaba, the Prophet ﷺ, used to take advantage of all of this. Advantage of the fact when they meet each other, they would do this. And they would take every opportunity open and available to them to increase their iman. Because they were serious about it. Right? So this is something, subhanAllah, that you can do on your own. Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, like he used to do, radiallahu anhu. You find them and you say, would you like to read Quran together? Every couple of days, every week, would you like to sit and study hadith every week, every day? Or there's a halaqah, or there's a study circle here. But you seek it. You have to seek it. You have to pursue it. All of these things are not going to come. No one is going to come and knock on your door and say, you know, here is the iman. I'm going to plant it in your heart. You have to seek it, and you have to desire it. You have to want it. So اجلس بنا نؤمن ساعة should be like a motto that all of us have. Sit and let us have iman together. And you have to focus on the things that increase your iman, by the way. The things that increase your iman. Because there might be some subjects, there might be some discussions that don't increase your iman. Don't bring you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, take the thing that when you finish after 15 minutes, half an hour, you say, my iman has really increased. I really feel closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has increased. My fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has increased. This is what it means, ijlis nu'min sa'a. Let's increase our iman for a while. So seek the things that for you increase your iman. You can feel the sweetness of iman at the conclusion of that session. You seek it. And you run after it. And you make sure that it gets repeated. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless it. Consistency in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? We said, what did we say about sins in general? What do they do to your iman? They decrease it. They diminish it. They cut into the fabric of iman. They tear it apart. So when you're not constant in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're failing to maintain your iman. As we said, iman decreases by the minute, by the hour, by the day. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had injected all these acts of worship in all parts of the day, and the week, and the month, and the year. So when there is inconsistency in worship, the inevitable outcome is your iman will suffer. And you'll begin to feel all the things that we talked about when your clothing is decayed. Right? You will begin to feel angry. You'll begin to feel ashamed. You'll begin to feel envious. You'll begin to feel weak. You'll begin to suffer because of it. And you begin to feel drained on the inside. Not feeling. Not having the appetite for salah. Not having the appetite to read the Quran. Not having the appetite to come to the masjid. And then you say, why is that? The answer is there. Again, it's no mystery. And its solution is no mystery. The problem is that we don't push ourselves. So don't push ourselves. Again, if you want to take the exercise example, just commit to it and you'll see results. Just commit to it. Commit to that regimen of exercise and diet, and you will see results. The problem is that I and you don't commit to it. That's why we don't see results. Just commit to it. And you will find results. So just commit to iman. Commit to your salah, commit to your dua, commit to your dhikr, commit to being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will see results. The problem is that we start then we stop, we start and we stop, we start and then we stop. Inconsistency. And with all of that, our lives is filled with ma'asiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can iman be strong if the ma'asiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our companion? So of course our iman is going to suffer as a result. But when you make a mistake, right, there's always something that you have to remember to do. And other hadiths, inshaAllah, that we will come to, inshaAllah, will reassert this point. When you do something wrong, there's something that you can do. And you have to do it immediately. What is it? Tawbah and? You said something? Huh? Pray. Praying like what? Dua or salah? Salah. Anything else? Huh? Na'am, right? You have to immediately repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And I usually used to stop at these two. And now we have to add a third thing. Do something to compensate for the evil that you've done. It could be anything. It could be salah. Salah is one of them. Right? Sadaqah. Right? Something to compensate for that thing that you have done. Not just, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, I've done that. No. You actually go and you do something that compensate a good deed that balances, counters that evil. Actually cancels that evil. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. The good deeds cancel the bad deeds. So you do that and you commit yourself to it. Again, like clothing, you spill whatever, juice on it. What do you do immediately? You continue, you know, throughout the day going to the masjid outside with big stain on it? You throw it in the washer immediately and wash it and you take it out, dry it and you put it on clean. That's your iman. So don't keep wearing your iman dirty. Because when you wear your iman dirty, it will bring you down. Just think about it, coming to the salah with a dirty iman, and you're standing there and you say, I don't feel it. Of course you don't feel it. How are you going to feel it? I'm reading the Quran, of course you're not feeling it. How will you feel it? Go and wash, go wash it. Cleanse. How do I cleanse? Astaghfirullah, tawbah, and do something good. Say, because of this bad thing that I've done, I'll spend the next 15, 20, 30 minutes reading the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll understand, I'll read in the tafsir so that I understand this page or two or three that I've read. I'll give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something so that when you do it, then I've done something to compensate for that evil. Cleanse, constant cleanse. So maintain with the ibadah and cleanse with repentance and asking Allah for maghfirah and good deeds to counter the bad deeds that you've done. Continuously. That's how you keep your clothes clean. That's how you keep your iman clean. And you keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for support all the time. So, inshallah, the project for this week, bi-idhnillah. First thing, take a time, inshallah, just to appreciate the ni'mah of clothing and the garments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given you. Just take a little bit of time. That what if I did not have this to put on? You know? From the smallest thing that you wear to the most expensive and the biggest thing that you're wearing. What if I did not have this and this and this and this? And I had to face people without anything. If I had to go out when it's hot or when it's cold without anything on. Just appreciate the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we overlook. So many of us, and for so long, the ni'mah of clothing. So just take some time to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Now imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the second project, think about it. Imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were actually is going to take your iman, change it into a clothing and dress and put it on you. Would it be something that you would be happy to meet people with? You understand what I said? Right? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would take your iman as it is right now, or whenever you're going to be thinking about it, and will change that into something that you're going to be wearing, and you have to go out and meet the public with it, would it be something that you are proud of, happy with, or would it be torn and stained and tattered, etc., etc.? What would it look like? And think about how you would like it to look like and make it so. If you like it to be pure and clean, make your iman pure and clean. If you like it to be so in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of humanity, make it so inside of you. And remember what he said, radiallahu anhu, that whatever Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, whatever you have on the inside, people are not going to fail to see it on the outside. People will see it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conceals a lot, but still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also reveal some, and people will have a sense of it. So that's the second thing to pay attention to. Now, the third thing, inshallah, that I want you to do, peg something from your closet, right? Something that is very old, you're not wearing anymore. And just think and consider, how did it become like this, right? You know, maybe that we've neglected it, maybe that we didn't wash it, maybe that we did not care for it. And think about it, do you want your iman to look like that? Do you want it to be like this? Right? And could actually your iman look like this on the inside? Right? And there is something, the last thing that I wanted to say, and it really like hits you when you hear it. It says, قال أبو حازم قال قد رضيت من أحدكم أن يبقي على دينه كما يبقي على نعليه. He says, Abu Hazim rahimahullah, he says, I'll be happy with one of you if you care for your iman like you care for your shoes. Yeah? And it really hits you like when you think about it. You say, I do actually care for my, not personally, I don't have like those expensive shoes, but like whatever, right? I do care for my shoes. Like when you have nice shoes on, you see how you polish them and you're not really careful where you step and you come back and you know, move any dirt and then you know, I don't know what people do with their shoes and then you put them back in the box and you wrap them and all of that. And anything valuable in your life, so imagine, subhanAllah, that you may actually be taking care, better care of your shoes than your iman. Imagine that's a possibility. I know some people actually are like that. I mean, you can watch them, you know, online, and when they buy something very expensive and they're so excited about it, and etc., etc., etc. And that's the thing that they worry about. And that becomes the most valuable thing that they and maybe we have in our lives, but not our iman. Our iman, imagine it as clothing again. Our iman, you put it on and you go into the dump, in the garbage. It doesn't matter what stains, you know, you put on it. It does not matter with us. You watch whatever you watch, you listen to whatever you listen, you mingle with whomever you mingle with, and all of that, all of those things are stains on your iman, and we don't care. But when it comes to my, you know, new jacket that I bought, oh, no way. No way. It goes into, you know, the closet, right? You know, inside a protective cover. And it gets polished, right? And it gets sprayed and all of this. That's my jacket. That's the valuable thing that I have. But my iman, eh, doesn't matter. So subhanAllah, he didn't even say, you know, just take care of it like you take care of your camel or you take care of your car. He said, just your shoes. Just your shoes. See how you worry about your shoes? You know, like if you're going to leave the masjid, right? And you don't find them. And how panicky would you be? Who took my shoes? Where are they? Right? Where did they go? I want them back. But somebody came and stole your iman today. Right? Somebody came and stole your iman yesterday. You didn't pay attention. You didn't worry about it. You didn't demand it back. You didn't want it back. Eh, let them keep it. Come back in 2, 3 days, 7 weeks, you know, a week, a month, next year, that's fine. Whatever it comes back, let it come back. It never comes back. With that attitude, it never comes back. So subhanAllah, think about it. Think about it. And how material we have become, and how negligent we are of our iman. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to renew your iman, he says, worry about it. Really worry about it. Because it decays. And it goes away. And subhanAllah, we live in an age where iman is very weak. And when everybody is complaining about their heart, and about, you know, lacking that the intensity of iman, the sweetness of iman, the warmth of iman, that's a common complaint. And all of that is because we've let go of our iman and we have not maintained it. So this is a reminder from your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Take care of your iman. It lives inside your heart. The first thing that you want to do, bi-idhnillah, with all these steps that we talked about, the first thing that you want to do, sallallahu alaihi yujaddida imanakum. Whenever you're in sujood, you know, in salah, after salah, whenever you're making dua, oh Allah, renew iman in my heart. Oh Allah, renew iman in my heart. If you love someone, oh Allah, renew iman in their heart. That's your dua for the next week, inshaAllah. And these are your contemplations, inshaAllah. If you choose to do them, I hope you do. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who take care of iman in their heart and cultivate it and increase it. And to again make us of those who taste its sweetness, so that we're not spiritually empty on the inside. But again we can say, alhamdulillah, I'm tasting again the intensity and the sweetness of iman, and I'm excited about it. That's what we want, to be excited about it. You want to be excited about it? The path is there, you just have to walk that path. So, inshallah, if there are any questions, inshallah, we'll answer them. But just for the sake of this recording, I will stop it. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.